And as you might guess from the sermon title, I think they both are talking about how we move forward with God. But let's start with this Exodus passage. And actually, I wanted to share with you what happens just before what Jim read for us. The context is, the people have been at Sinai, and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and God gives him the Ten Commandments and gives him all these other laws. And you may remember, Moses has gone so long that while he's gone, the people all start getting really anxious, and they make a golden calf, and they start worshiping the calf. And so God is not particularly pleased by this. In fact, I think there's like a plague involved afterwards, but we won't dwell on that. But then we get to Exodus 33. And here's how chapter 33 begins. If you want to follow along, it's on 79. The Lord said to Moses, "Go, leave this place, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, and go to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' I will send an angel before you. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, or I would consume you along the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." He says this again a few verses later. "Say to the Israelites, 'You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you.'" In other words, what God is saying here, just before our passage this morning, is, all right, I've had it. This is God. Remember, when you've reached God's limit of patience, that's something. God says, you know what? Go to the promised land. I'll even smooth the way for you. But I'm not going with you. I am so tired of you people. I am so tired of your grumbling and your complaining and your disobedience. No matter what I do, it's never good enough. So go! But I'm staying here. And then we get to this conversation that Jim read for us this morning. And Moses says, and Moses was great at sort of talking to God this way. Moses says, you know, you told me that I was supposed to take this people forward. You didn't tell me who was going to go with me. But you know what, God? If you don't go with us, we're not going anywhere. If you do not go with us, God, we cannot leave this spot. Because without you leading us and going with us, we are just going to be truly wandering in the wilderness with no direction. We need you. So if you don't go with us, we can't go anywhere. I think it's a great moment. And it convinces God, who says, okay. For you, Moses, sure. Your people, but I'll go with you. In order to truly move forward, you must go with God. In fact, you must follow God. And I think that may be what the really bizarre part of this passage that Jim read may be alluding to. So Moses says to God, I want to see your face, your presence. And God says, no one can see my face and live. But Moses, for you, stand in the rock here as I pass by. You can then turn and look and you'll see my back. And actually, the word here actually means not just back is the nice way to say it. It really means backside. Perhaps what God is saying here is, I mean, I was thinking about if you're following God, if you're walking with God and you see God's face, that means you're in front of God. You know, if there's someone leading you somewhere, you want to see their backside because you're following them. So if we see God's back, that means we're where we're supposed to be, which is behind God, with God in front leading us. If we're seeing God's face, it means we're in front of God, and that's not a place you want to be. How's that for an explanation, Jim? Okay, good. So if we move forward with God leading us. And notice as well, there's one other really interesting thing that Moses says in this passage. He says, and God, if you don't go with us, if we are not being led by you, then we're just like everyone else, because you being with us is what distinguishes us from everybody else. Not that it makes us better or worse, but it distinguishes us that we are going with God. This is where I think we get to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, at least this opening introduction. But you notice what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. He's saying, look, we are far away from you, but we have heard about you. We planted a good seed with you. You are people who are following God. You are imitators of Christ. You are doing work that is tied in with faith. We've heard of your efforts that are wrapped up with love. We've heard of your hope that is tied up to the perseverance, we've heard of your perseverance that is tied up with the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. We have heard, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, that you truly are people who are following God. And that word is spreading. That's who we are. That's what distinguishes us as Christians, is we are at least attempting to follow God. We are attempting to imitate Christ. I mean, what is it that sets us apart from any other nonprofit social service agency? Oftentimes, the work we are doing looks very similar. What's different is how and why we are doing that work. Again, doesn't make us better or worse, but our purpose, our whole process is tied up with following God, with imitating Christ. The results of that may look just the same as other organizations, but our intention, our purpose, our direction is from a different place. It's from God. In fact, the whole point of anything we do has got to be, is this what God is leading us to do? Because if it is, we should do it. If it isn't, even if it's a good thing, we shouldn't do it. For us, the bottom line is always, what is God leading us to do? That's how we move forward with God. Any other path is not a path we want to be on as Christians. So there's both hope here and a little challenge to be always looking for God's backside leading us. And I wanted to also mention this morning, there have been some, I'm not even sure concern is the right word, but there's been some conversation I know about the fact that some families have left this community and are no longer part of this church, young families, active families. And I'm sensing a little anxiety, which is perfectly natural. And we were talking about this summit session. And here's the point, I think. First of all, take a deep breath. Do not be afraid. But also, if we are truly following God, if we are focused on our spiritual growth as individuals and as a congregation, you know what? People will want to be a part of that. If we focus only on numbers, we're already getting off track. If we keep our eyes on God and following God, I am fully convinced people will want to be part of that. The point is, again, the bottom line for us is following God, being imitators of Christ, and having the trust that if we are trying to follow God, God will not lead us astray. God will lead us where we need to go, to that promised land. Otherwise, we might get to the promised land in other ways, But without God, what's the point? So our task is figure out where God's backside is going and follow. Because no matter where we go, as individuals or as a congregation, if God isn't there with us, if God isn't leading us, we're just wandering in the wilderness. And what's the point? Amen.